Hello, this is Jana Spica. Welcome to Listen and See. I'm excited to share a message with you. It's based on a revelation that God gave me a year ago, if you can imagine, April of 2019, and I have been astounded and full of wonder as I have watched this revelation play out in front of my very eyes, especially on a global scale. I pray that it strengthens you and gives you a place to stand in these trying days. I just keep unpacking this prophetic word that the Lord gave me, and I realize now it was a year ago. It was actually at the men's retreat when the Lord first started talking to me about this concept of a tsunami of love. And I know that some of you have heard pieces of that, but he just keeps unpacking that. And I feel like it's very timely for today. And now that he has said what he's going to do, I think he's now doing it. And that we want to make sure that we're responding and aligning with him about what he's doing. And so just for those of you who haven't heard this word, the Lord gave me the phrase tsunami of love. And I went through and I did all kinds of research about what a tsunami is. And a tsunami is formed by devastations in the deep. It's either caused by an earthquake, a volcano, or a landslide underneath the ground. So way down deep in the ocean, something shifts that no one knows about, no one sees about. But then what happens is this thing that happens way down in the deep, so much energy is released that it comes up to the surface and it literally goes to the surface of the water and starts moving because there's all this energy. And there's a difference between the wind that moves the waves on the top like this, how you see oceans and the wind moves like that, as opposed to a wave that comes from down in the deep. There's been so much energy that's been pushed around. It forces itself to the top because it has to have expression. The energy has to express itself. So it pushes the water up and then it starts pushing the water toward the land. And it's not like a big wave that's rolling. It's all this energy that's trying to run itself out. And so when I first started hearing the Lord talk about a tsunami of love, I was going, this is terrifying because tsunamis cause death and devastation. And like, who wants to be a tsunami? And the Lord said that a tsunami of love changes the landscape, but it brings restoration. It brings the kingdom of God. It does cause devastation, but only in a good way. So that is, in summation, the thing that the Lord released on the earth a year ago. And then I started trying to unpack it. But then this thing started coming around with the virus, and you're seeing all this shift and this change. And Joe and I were talking, and Joe gave this expression, global empathy, which sounds like a tsunami of love to me. Global empathy, where we all care about each other, the nations care about each other. But then as I just keep sitting in it, the Lord gave me the expression like a holy Sabbath, a global Sabbath, that also has caused this complete shift and change in the way that we do things. If you think about it, there's been a devastation that's gone around the whole world. It started in one place and it's just been this huge wave that's gone around the world. And we're looking at the virus, but I think the Lord is calling us to look at him because he is the one that's originating this total awareness, a whole new awareness of things that have happened before. So as I was talking to a friend of mine about that, she said, I'd love for you just to really sit and ask the Lord to unpack this for you in a different level about what are we to do in these day and times. So I went back to some scripture that God just kept bringing back to me. And I don't know if you guys have got your Bibles nearby or your phones that you can look at scripture. Isaiah 61. Let's just read through this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. I'm going to read it just for a second. We'll do something with it in a minute. But I want you just to see that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me, to proclaim good news to the poor. I don't want to rush through this. So just look at each sentence of this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you. Because the Lord has anointed me, has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. So right now we have a lot of people freaking out about their money and we have good news for them. He sent me to bind up. He sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And I want to come back to those two verses, but to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. See, this is one of those passages of scripture that you maybe have heard it so much that you forgot the power and the promise of it. To bestow on them, those who mourn, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, planted for his display of splendor. And then look at verse 4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and your vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Look at this. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. Everlasting joy will be yours. And then it goes on to talk about the Lord hates robbery and wrongdoing, and in his faithfulness, he's making an everlasting covenant. And I will just look at verse 10. I will delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices, for he's clothed me with garments of salvation. You want to sit on something this week? Sit on that phrase. God has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head and a bride adorns herself, as the soil makes the sprout come up, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So I don't know how to make this not do this, but while Chuck's not here, I want you to take a look at this. Is a passage of scripture you may know, but I'm going to go backward and look at Isaiah 58, because this is a super important passage of scripture. So this whole passage is talking about true fasting. And the beginning of this whole passage of Isaiah 58 is the Lord just calling people out. Because people are complaining, we fasted, God, we fasted, verse 3, but you haven't noticed us, God, you haven't taken care of us. And then the Lord's going, hey, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit your workers, and your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for a bow in one's head like a reed and lying in sackcloth? Is that what you call a fast? So look at verse 6. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. This is incredible. And look, is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. So I've sat in Isaiah 58 for years and years, honestly, and I've paid attention to, because part of my calling is about setting the oppressed free and justice and that kind of thing. But now for the first time, I'm seeing in a different way about sharing food, taking care of sheltering the poor, and also to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. And what I'm seeing is that in this time of Sabbath, we're being forced to deal with relationships that we're often not having to deal with because we're busy and we're working and we're distracted and all these other things. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? It's like the Lord is calling us to a season of having to turn in. And what's happening when we turn in is that we're seeing all these defects of how on earth do we learn how to love each other in this environment. Like, I don't have my preferences. I'm not getting my little nits taken care of. I don't have the freedom to go and come and go as I want to. And it's flushing all this stuff that I don't like. And guess what? It's doing that every single person in your family. Every person in the household is doing that. So there's something really important about paying attention to this. And I just noticed that in the same way that there's like a holy Sabbath, I think God is calling us to fast. Because I've noticed for myself, if we're not careful, we're going to take this downtime and we're just going to fill it right back up with meaningless stuff. But what if the Lord, in addition to calling for a holy Sabbath, he's calling for a fasting of the things that we normally do? I was talking to somebody yesterday. She's talking about day drinking is on the rise for stay-at-home moms because they're hurting, because they're freaking out, right? Chuck said he saw an article that porn is on the rise because everybody's going, ooh, I got all this time. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And it's like, I just want to call us out about what kind of fasting is acceptable to our God. And he's like going, hey, I, God speaking, I am doing something. I'm doing something in the earth. Are you participating with what I'm doing? Or are you so busy trying to distract? Are you so busy trying to be busy that you're missing this holy moment? And I know this is like a heavy word, but I'm telling you, we have never experienced anything like this in our day and age. And so we don't want to miss what God is doing, heaven on earth. We don't want to miss what God is doing, and how do we align ourselves? And so just today, this week, I would like to invite you to read Isaiah 58, 59, 60, and 61, because they build on each other. The Lord's going, hey, instead of you doing your fake fasting, this is the kind of fasting that I'm calling for. And at the very end of Isaiah 58, let me see. I'm just going to read it to you. The Lord says, this is the kind of fasting I desire. And then the Lord goes, when you fast the way I want you to fast, then you will call and the Lord will answer and you will cry for help. And he will say, here I am. This is what the Lord's saying. Here I am. If you will do away with the yoke of oppression and pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become the new day. The Lord will guide you always. And here's his promise. I don't know if you've ever been in a season of famine before. I have. If you've never been in a season of famine before and you run across Isaiah 58, 11, then it means something to you. It says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. It's like there is a provision from the Lord. There's a promise from the Lord that we don't care if there's toilet paper, because the Lord has promised that he is going to provide for our needs in a sun-scorched land. It's like there's not anything that can come against us that God is not, as John Dee used to say, that God's not on the hook for. He's on the hook for being God to us. He's on the hook for providing for us and for taking care of all of our needs, so that it's like, it's not like, oh, we're God's kids, so we get everything we want. We are blessed. Why? To be a blessing. We are given water so that we can water. We're given seed so that we can sow. And so God is on the hook for being God to us, because God is causing, it says in Isaiah 58, praise to rise up among the nations. It's like, if you think about the famine that Joseph went through, people were just praising. Oh, this, so thankful that somebody knew what was coming. So I just feel like the thing that I keep praying since this has started, that song has started, awake my soul, awake my soul and sing. Because what I'm concerned about is, as believers, that we're falling asleep into distraction just like everybody else is. And this is the time to be awake. This is the time to be making declarations. This is the time to be standing guard. After the Lord has satisfied you, after the Lord has strengthened you, after the Lord has watered you, it says, then your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of street dwellings. That's called a tsunami of love. That's exactly what that is that God brings us up, his energy is released on the earth, and we go forward and we start changing things if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath. So I just want to really bless you. And then there's like in Isaiah 59, 16, it's talking about the Lord was displeased that he didn't see anybody taking care of this. So you know what the Lord did? Said, I myself, the Lord says, I will do this. I'm going to come in a ray of salvation. I'm going to bring salvation to the earth and raise up my people, and I'm going to do something. I want to look at Isaiah 59, 16. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice, and he saw that no one was appalled, that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. And he put on his righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. Are you hearing the armor of God in here from Ephesians? That was God's idea. According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. This is like fear, like honor and awe. And he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. Pent-up flood. Devastations in the deep that have to make their way. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. Look at verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, and on the lips of your children, on the lips of their descendants, from this time and forever, says the Lord. And then look at the very next chapter. Remember, no chapters, no verses. This is a continuing thought. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. I mean, God is doing something. Do you see what I'm saying? And then you go back into Isaiah 61, and he's like going, the Spirit of the Lord is on you to proclaim, to replace, to exchange, to give. It's like you have everything that you need. And so I don't know if you guys are doing this. Like, we just got into a huge fight yesterday and today. And there's like this moment that you're like going, stop with the noise. Just stop with the noise, because I have other things to be spending my life on. So one thing I really want to talk to you about is, how's your marriage doing? Are you doing whatever it takes to make sure that your marriage is doing okay? Are you paying attention to the subtle nuances inside your relationship, trying to keep you distracted, trying to keep you in a swirl? And I just don't think I like his attitude. And I just don't like think I like the way she's talking to me right now. It's like all these little knit things trying to come. It's like, it feels to me like, if I had a picture of it, it's like these little cords wrapping around your feet. You're walking, and these little cords wrapping around your feet, so you face plant. And so I just say to you, arise, arise and shine. Pay attention to, Chuck is not my enemy. I'm not his enemy. You know what I mean? I called Laura and asked her to pray for me this morning. And the first thing she said, God, that you would remind Chuck and Jana that they are sons and daughters and they are well-loved children of God. And so I bless you with that very thing in your home today, that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and you are dearly loved, and you have everything you need. And we have a call right now in the earth. So we can't allow ourselves to let our petty appetites, that's the word, petty appetites, to drive what you're doing, instead of the Spirit of God proclaiming, exchanging, doing what God's calling us to do right now. So here's the thought, is that we're not concerned about devastation. We're concerned about restoration. That's the word of the hour. God is bringing restoration to the earth. That is, he is intervening. Let me see if there's anything else I want to say. Oh, yeah, this is really good. This is something he talked about. Something about being on Sabbath. Can you imagine being the first time that you heard that a people who only, if you don't work, you don't eat? That was the culture that they lived in. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have bank accounts. You mean like you constantly working, right? Work, work, work. If I don't work, I don't eat. So then God comes up to them and starts introducing this concept of a Sabbath, that I want you to stop once a week and don't work. And you're going to have to save enough on Saturday so that you can eat on Sunday, but this day is my day. And then he comes up and tells them to take an entire year. And they're like going, are you kidding me? And the Lord's going, do you trust me or not? Am I God or not? Can I be big enough to you that you can trust that I'm going to carry you no matter what happens in that year? Because like you're thinking, oh, well, if I save enough money and if I can enough food and if I do this kind of stuff, then I can take care of myself. Except you don't know what's going to happen in that year that's going to withdraw everything that you've got. So something that the Lord was talking to me about this morning is that the Sabbath creates an environment where you are helpless to do for yourself. You're helpless to do for yourself. And that's the point, because the Lord was trying to get us to have more confidence in him than ourselves, and to hold on to his sense of provision. God is the provider, and he helps us. And then the Lord said this, the Sabbath was meant to strengthen you so that you could strengthen the nations. If you'll let your mind go back for a second, can you imagine? Remember, you got this little Hebrew nation. They're surrounded by nations. And these nations are continuing to work every day. And they're going, what are these guys doing? How come nobody's working? What's happening? Like, how are they doing that? And now all of a sudden you're going, who is in them that they are able to stop for an entire year and yet they don't die, they don't starve to death. We come back and they're as good or better than they were a year before. And that's what I mean by strengthening the nations. When you stand fortified in God, when you stand fortified in His provision, when you understand He is it, He's the source, He's the provision, He's the reason, then now said we're strengthened in such a degree that the nations around us, whether it's our communities or literally the nations that we're coming in contact with, they're going, how do they arise and shine? It must be because the Lord is within them. Amen? So don't take Sabbath lightly. Make sure that you're paying attention to let go of things that need to be let go of. Make sure that you're taking on the things that need to be taken care of, taken on. But here's my word for all of us is your distractions are killing you. My distractions are killing me. Pay attention to how you're letting yourself slide. Rest is a good thing. Sliding too far, not a good thing. You know, there's a difference between mayhem and rest, because rest ultimately brings you back into the arms of God. It quietens things so you can hear His voice better. Where some distractions, some coping, it numbs you. Have you experienced seasons where you're numb and you can't really hear from the Lord? Then all you have to do is, what am I partaking in right now that's shading my ability to hear from the Lord? For me, it's like we're doing a little bit too much Netflix, little bit too much Netflix, okay? And so when I wake up, I'm in this fog. I don't have to go, oh, I'm a terrible person. No, I just need to remove some of the distractions. I need to get the curtain parted, as it were, so I can hear from the Lord again and make sure that I'm staying connected. And it's like I can see that some of the spin out with Chuck and I is just because, are we keeping the same rhythms, praying together every morning, trying to make sure we're staying in the Word, make sure that we're staying in worship. Do you know what I mean? Do the things that you know to do. Do the things that feed your faith and feed your spirit. So I think that's all I want. I want to just recap this for you just so that you get the points of the words about this. The earth is talking about devastation. We're talking about devastation to economies and health and all this fear. And the Lord is always talking about restoration. He's always talking about restoration. And so you can have confidence in the Lord. God, how do you want to be God to me right now? You can even go back to the Lord out of Isaiah 58 and go, I don't feel satisfied right now. I don't feel like a well-watered garden, but you stand there and wait for His answer. It's okay for you to be experiencing lack, but just take your lack right back to the Lord and ask Him to do something about it, pushing yourself back into the presence of the Lord. And then Sabbath is intended to cause you to clear the table, clear your plate, so that you can hear what God has to say to you brand new. He wants to be God to us. And He gave us, you know, that great line just coming to my mind. Oh, out of new wine, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. So we don't want to let all that He has given us cloud the relationship with Him, because the Lord is up to something in the earth today and we want to be a part of that. Amen. So if you still got Isaiah 61 up, I'd like to read this together. I'd kind of like to do it like a responsive reading. So I'm going to read and then you say it out loud. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, You know, I just bless you to really sit in Isaiah 61 to see what God is up to. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you one more thing. I don't know if you've ever had anybody break down what it means to have a God of vengeance, but a God of vengeance is a God who the vengeance is against the enemy. It's not against us. And John D. explained this to me so beautifully years and years ago. I just bless that man. I know he's in heaven just having such a great time, but I just bless him for what he poured out. But the day of vengeance is that the enemy has to pay for everything that he brought against us. So when we speak that this is the year of the Lord's favor, you know, everybody's writing all these memes about, oh, 2020 was going to be great. And now look, and I'm going, no. 2020 is the year of the Lord's favor. And so we're just going to keep standing that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And I expect to see the favor of God, regardless of the circumstances. And anything that the enemy took away from me, stole from me, like the day of vengeance is that he is a God of vengeance who repays everything that the enemy has tried to take away from us, steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to take away our health. He's trying to take away our economies. He's trying to destroy the nations. He's trying to destroy connections. It's like, no, God is fighting, actively fighting on our behalf. No. Not only do you have to pay them back double, you have to pay them back a double portion. And so I started getting that math equation in my spirit with John D. Anything that the enemy had stolen from me, you got to pay me back double because that's who my God is. And so it comes down to, I mean, this is a crazy story. Most of you probably know this. Karis had this crazy sickness when she was little. And so the doctor said that we had to get rid of all of our furniture because it was cloth furniture. And so we literally gave away our furniture. And John came in, he goes, then you got to ask the devil to pay you back. You gave away your furniture. He's using sickness to steal from your family. And you need to tell God, I need you to make the devil pay me back furniture. And oh yeah, I want better furniture than I had the last time. This was unheard of. I had never even heard of this kind of concept. And so I just kept asking God, I want better furniture than what I gave away because of this sickness. And you know that we sold our house, we weren't even planning to move. We sold our house. We had this crazy profit off this house. We ran into this going out of sale, out of business sale. And we got leather furniture that was like a fraction of what it was actually worth. We still have that furniture. We've had it for over 20 years. I mean, it's like the Lord just, he cares about every single detail. And so when we say that he's a God of vengeance, it's like you lose time at work, you want the money back. You lose time in family, you want that relationship stuff back. You have strain or struggle with your children, you want everything that the enemy tried to steal, you want that double back. Double back sooner or later. I want double back connection and double back relationship. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's like, we don't sit by and let the devil eat our lunch. We tell him to go back to hell because the God of vengeance is on the scene and he means to do what he means to do. And if we can't do it, no problem. His arm of salvation has come and we'll do it. Amen. Let me just pray for us. I'm amped up. You can tell I miss you guys. So Jesus, we just honor you for being the God of vengeance. We honor you that you have worked salvation, that by the cross and by the resurrection, you have worked salvation, and that you mean to bring restoration, and not one thing, not one nation, not one virus, not one person can thwart your plans, because you will have what you have intended from the beginning, that your sons and daughters would bring glory to you. And so we align with you, Spirit, that we are sons and daughters of glory, and that we arise and shine with you. And we speak peace to the nations, and we speak health to the nations. And we send this virus back to oblivion, and that the crown of Jesus would be seen worldwide. The crown of Jesus would be high and lifted up. And we just count ourselves blessed to be known and loved by you. Abba, we belong to you, and that makes all the difference. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Jana's message today. Remember, you can support this work and other Greater Things endeavors by checking out greater-things.org for details. That's greater-things.org. Thank you.